Hello there. It's James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Johnny Test,
Fred Flintstone,
and one of my personal favorites, Leonardo. And you are listening to Epic Tales from the Sewer. It's totally awesome. Turtle power. Go, go, go.
Party wagon and hold on to your pizza. This is the first annual for TMNT, the IDW series, with story and art by Kevin Eastman, script by Kevin Eastman and Tom Waltz, colors by Rhonda Pattinson, letters by Robbie Robbins and Sean Lee. Start out nighttime at New York City.
Good workout, guys.
Yeah, for some of us.
This teamwork thing's a lot of work. Better when the entire team participates.
Yeah, I know, Donnie, but we all know Raph and Casey like to do their own thing sometimes. Raph says it keeps him sane.
Sane?
Well, as close to those two can get to, at least. Besides, it's not the first time we've worked together as a threesome.
Like the Stooges, says Mikey.
Really great-looking splash page of Mikey, Donatello, and Leo. Yeah, Mikey, something like that.
All I know is that, Raph or not, I'm ready to lay down this bow staff and kick up my feet. You really whipped our butts today, Leo.
Wise man say, no pain, no gain. They're jumping over rooftops.
You must be talking about hunger, because I'm starving.
Mike, when aren't you starving?
Hey, pizza's my life, and it's a good life. Especially when it's covered in extra pepperoni.
Can't argue with that one, little bro, says Leo. Okay, let's call it a day. Nice job.
How about you call it a day and I call dibs on the TV?
Good luck with that. If father's watching his soaps, you'll have to wrestle him for the remote.
Master Splinter, we're home. As they go into second time around.
And where are Raphael and Casey Jones, Leonardo?
They said they had a new workout that they were going to do today, father.
A new workout, you say? I wonder, does this new workout involve any actual work?
New York City, the waterfront. Casey's on top of the roof.
Ha-ha!
Casey Jones. Above-average athlete, below-average student, vigilante, good kid from a bad hood. We can see that he's above what we can... It says Josie's Bar and Grill, an allusion to the Hell's Kitchen bar that is frequented by the Daredevil.
I win again. And you lose! Lose, you big freaking... Oof!
Raphael. Teenager, mutant, ninja turtle, sore loser in a shell.
You idiot! We're five stories up! You just figure that out, Einstein? Now, find out how tough you really are. Damn right you will. Especially if I don't get my dang bat back.
As he throws the bat, it ends up bonking off the side of the roof.
So you lose another little baby bat. Boo stinking who, big deal.
They're wrestling and fighting each other, just like brothers would.
It will be Chucklehead if it hits somebody.
Thump. And it seems like it does in the alley below.
Dude, that was totally insane. Yeah, let's do it again. What the?
Sounds like there was a car crash. And all of a sudden, a briefcase goes flying through the air and lands in a shopping cart with a clunk. And there's a bum in there who's like,
"Oi, where'd he come from, eh?"
Yeah, I know that guy. He's... Forget the bum, Casey. We gotta check on that crash. Holy crap. Did the bat cause this?
Whatever caused it, we gotta call 911, bro. We gotta move these guys. They could be hurt or worse.
You can see that there's a black car that is smashed into a telephone pole, and the driver's kind of hanging out. He's got some brown hair.
Can't worry about that now, man. You smell that gas? We gotta get these guys out of this wreck before it blows up or something.
They describe in a panel, Eric Connor, driver for the Savate Ninjas, working on one serious migraine.
The driver's in rough shape. This ain't cool, Casey.
Don't struggle, man. You'll make it worse. I got you.
The next panel describes Luis Royo, underworld arbitration specialist and go-between thug in a suit.
I'm all right.
We see there's two punks in the alley behind him, kind of watching everything. Looks like they have a red hat and a red bandana.
Yo, Two Shoes, who the hell are these guys pulling out of the mugs out? That's some kind of watermelon suit that guy's wearing.
Forget him, Kanata. We gotta vamoose before anyone in that car spots us. I recognize that limo, and those guys in there are bad news. We're dead meat if we get blamed for this crash.
Yeah, okay, but I still want to know what the rescue guys all dressed up in green like that.
Kanata and Timmy Two Shoes. Two-bit no-good crooks. Hell, even stole the two-bits. Looks like just in time Raff gets everybody out of the car.
Just zip it and keep walking, dummy. You're not going to need to rescue your butt. Cripes, first flying bats and briefcases, now watermelon guy. What's wrong with you?
Them things was flying, Timmy, I swear.
Crap, this guy looks a lot worse than the driver.
What the? Who the hell are you? Them idiots standing in the middle of the damn road before?
What's he talking about? Crap, cop car just showed up, Raff. We got a boogie.
Something tells me that ain't just gonna be easy, bro. I think another cop car just pulled up.
So there's two of them now.
Damn, is that Corbin? What's he doing here?
Nice. Slow and slink away before they spot us. Miller, what the hell? He ain't supposed to know about this.
5 minutes earlier, we can see outside of the bar.
So tell me again, Mr. Royo, how many people know about this?
We see someone who shows, Farshid Diaz, lieutenant for the Sabate Ninjas delivering the goods, in a car with the driver that we had seen in the crash.
And you know we can just trust them? I already told you, Farshad, those who need to know, and you got 5 million reasons in that briefcase to keep them honest.
Or perhaps 5 million reasons for them to betray our deal, no honor among thieves, yes?
No, yeah, I get what you're saying and all, but you got nothing to worry about. I've dealt with these foot ninja cats before, and scary as they are, they got an honor code thing that they follow just like it's their damn religion or something. If they say they'll deal square, then they'll deal square. I guarantee it.
Yeah, maybe, but if it turns out they ain't on the side of up and up, like you're saying,
I'm bringing along a little guarantee of my own,
as he taps. Max Frazzato, Sabate Ninja Strongman and Bodyguard. Brawn, Bullets, and Braggadocio. The two thugs with the hats, the red hats, are just looking.
It just came from nowhere.
Well, pick it up.
You pick it up.
And they're looking at Casey's bat.
Trust me, Max, you're not going to need the heat. If the tribute is delivered to Shredder's people as promised, they'll play nice.
And how do we know these people will transfer the goods to the master and not keep it for themselves, hmm?
None of them are nutso enough to cross their boss. The Shredder's one nasty piece of business, let me tell you.
Crap! Ah!
We could see that these two thugs did, in fact, cause their crash as they drove out of the way and hit the pole with a honk and a pfft.
Damn it, I can't control! I think we're gonna crash!
Then at that point, the briefcase goes flying past some onlooking pigeons in the air over.
Hey, a flying briefcase!
Damn it, Kanata, I told you not to stand in the road!
As it banks off of the top of a light post, over Casey and Raff, and into the bum's shopping cart.
Tenpenny cotton, folks. Sure to make you throw away some easy money,
says the bum, who is described as Kid Kennedy. Scotsman and former boxer. Slow wits, fast fists.
Oh, where'd ye come from?
Whoa now, this is a right beauty. Perfect tartan week for old fightin' Ferguson. Nay, doubt about it. And this time it'll be Fergie's beholding court at Scarabread wager. I kind of wait till he sees this.
Now there's a scene kind of unloading two cop cars and all the people are kind of shown. Looks like the two thugs are going away through one alley. The other side of the alley, the bum's going. Kid Kennedy, we'll call him. And then Raff and Casey are trying to slink away.
Nice and slink away. We gotta get out of here before they see us. That's all we need, arrested for causing a car crash.
What do you mean? You heard that guy say someone was standing in the road? No way those guys crashed because of my bat.
Maybe not, but you still should have held on to the stupid thing tighter, you wimp.
We can see the two detectives now are described as Detectives Frank Corbin and Richard Dick Miller, veteran officers on the same crooked take. Two wrongs most definitely do not make a right.
Corbin, Miller.
Okay, folks, we're the police. We're going to need you to stay back for your own safety.
So, what brings you here?
Says Corbin.
Just happened to be in the area, you?
Same.
What a freaking mess, huh?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Don't even say it again, Kanata. I don't want to hear it no more.
But really, Timmy, that case was flying like one of them UFOs you see in the videos.
Oh, you know all the dumbass things you come out of your mouth, and there's been plenty.
This one has to be the dumbest of all.
Look, there it is! The case!
Me bonny lies over the ocean. Me bonny lies over the sea,
says Kids Kennedy.
Didn't you say that limo was those Savat guys, Timmy? I bet he's got something important in it. We should swipe it and find out.
You know, that ain't such a bad idea, man. Let's do it.
We gotta be careful. I know that mug. He's as crazy as he looks, an English guy.
He ain't English, Kanata. He's Irish. And just let me do the talking, will ya? I'll handle him just fine. Yo, Irish.
Who, me?
Yeah, you oversized leprechaun. We're after your gold. Hand it over to that case you got there.
I'll have you know, Ken, I'm Scottish, and have come closer to knock the both of you clear to the Hudson. You
sure about that, Rocky Dumboa?
Aye, more than sure.
Well, one way to find out, huh, Kanata?
You know it, pal.
As they try to attack the man, they are blocked at every physical way, with a kick, with a punch, and all of that, and thrown on their backsides. Kid Kennedy is no joke.
Hold on to him, Kanata. I'll grab the case.
Yeah, I'm trying. No, that's not for ye. It's loose.
As it bunks away, we can see as it opens up.
Oh, crud. Now we're in for it.
Hey, that pub your old man hangs out at, ain't it down this way?
Says Raph.
Yeah, the Scar Bray. I wonder if Angel's dad's bartending today. And let that be a lesson to ye both.
What the?
Kid Kennedy is nae to be bothered by the mangy scoundrels such as ye.
Fightin' Ferguson, forming boxing champion, Scott, bantamweight.
Whoa, most guys get hauled away in an ambulance after a sweat from old Fergie. These guys are lucky he took them on easy.
Fergie, as you can see, is an older man, very skinny, right, and thin, but he's got some glasses on and just a rough beard.
Old Fergie? That guy in the glasses?
Yeah, and there's Angel's dad with his pacemaker.
It's a big stick.
And the case from the wreck, big question is, what the heck are they doing with it?
We can see that it's all open. Outside the Scar Bray, 5 minutes earlier, we can see Angel and looks like the Purple Dragons. We see a sign that says Angel, member of the Purple Dragons and Brooklyn's daughter, tough chick with fighting sticks.
Man, I'm freaking bored. Ain't nothing fun to do around here and we got no dinero. Yo, Angel, you think your old man got any odd jobs need doing?
Yeah, how about it? I think we can get some green off that tight-fisted old geezer.
Maybe, chun, if your ugly face didn't scam away first.
Very funny, girl.
Not as funny as your face, she says.
Purple dragons kind of saunter away. Inside the Scarabray.
So this feller walks into a bar and he sees a giraffe lying on the floor. He says to the bartender, who, by the way, can you hear too well? He says, hey, what's lying over there? And the bartender, he says, that's nail lion. That's a giraffe.
We see a sign that shows the bartender's name is Brooklyn S. Bridge, bartender at the Scar Bray. Yes, that's really his name.
Heh, that was funnier last week, Fergie.
The classics never die, Boyle, just like us.
Well, I ain't gonna die in this hole, that's for sure. You'll have to take those old jokes for someone else, old man, cause I'm working and saving to get my butt out of here.
Aye, and ye be sure to tell me how that goes, Brooklyn.
You'll know when I'm gone. I'll be long gone.
Ugh. That's for sure, ye.
No, that's for not for ye.
That sounds like the kid. Keep an eye out and a pint for me, will you, mate?
Here we go again,
as he hears commotion outside and they get up.
Never a dull moment.
And let that be the lesson to ye both. Kid Kennedy is nae to be bothered by the likes of ye mangy scoundrels such as ye.
Okay, boys?
Aye, we're okay, just some wee mosquitoes that needed a swatting. And what's all that ruckus about, kid? Aye, Fergie, they was trying to steal away ye present away from me. I wasn't going to let them, but for me, tartan week, to give it to ye, it's a dandy.
Ugh, the punks moan as they slink away.
Tartan week? What are you talking about?
He opens up and sees, in fact, that the case is full of diamonds, opening a case, putting them in his hands.
Ah, oh, sweet mother of God, diamonds! Oi! Say, Fergie, I told you it was a dandy,
says Kid Kennedy.
Jones, is that you?
Yeah, Brooklyn, it's me.
Your friend got anything to do with this briefcase being here?
Maybe. Crap, he saw me.
And I told you, I didn't need presents. I just want to keep yourself out of trouble. Now look what you've gone and done. We need to get this loot inside, but quick.
You two need to get your butts inside here now. And don't give me no lip, boy.
Yes, sir.
Dude, this sucks. Splinter will massacre me twice if he finds out about the crash and then me being seen. Come on in or Brooklyn will waste us both before your dad gets a chance. And if either you two idiots say anything to anybody about what you just saw, you'll be fish food before sunrise. Understand?
Yeah, no problem, man.
Actually, my lips are swollen.
Then with a slam, he switches the sign to closed.
Okay, now don't nobody get crazy. We gotta figure out just what happened. Look at those diamonds. Look. And nothing's good about this.
Holy, says Casey.
Whoa, says Raph.
Brooklyn's right. Case full of loot like this lands in your lap. Trouble sure to follow. Kid, where in the world did you find these? They was just fell out of the sky, Fergie. I swear, like magic.
And what are you doing, Casey and your weird-looking friend? What the hell is this, always some kind of costume? Yes. Whatever, just tell me how the hell you two are caught up in this.
Aye, lads. Spill it or I'll pop you too. It's a bloody mess you have the kid into. Your kinny's not there. Why bring him into your thievery?
Whoa, hold up, Fergie. I never stole nothing in my life.
What about? I seem to recall.
Well, nothing like this. Anyways, me and Raph were caught in the middle of this just like the kid. Those diamonds came from this car crash a few blocks away.
Well, then how are those poor old chubs I just walloped involved? I could have taken them, two of them, myself, Fergie. It was in the zone, just like the good old days.
Easy, boyo. I ken full well you coulda. I just was helping, and so much we didn't have to talk to police, like the last time ye threw your fists.
Okay, Fergie, as long as ye ken.
Aye, lad, I do.
Now, let's figure out this whole thing, shall we? I do not think I dunna ken you're one of them muties, green fellas. Only been trying ye because you're with young Jones here. So, why do ye honor me and trust me with what's going on?
It's like Casey said. We were goofing around on the rooftops, and he lost one of his bats when we heard the car crash and went to help.
And that's when we saw the case flying through the air and land in the kid's basket. But just like the last one, we saw it until we got here. I swear, we took off after the cops came and got to the crash.
In the crash, do you know who it was?
Nah, it looked like a bunch of wise guys to me, but I ain't sure. It was a hell of a nice car, though. Or it was before it hit that telephone pole,
Casey says to Brooklyn.
Man, I'm telling you, there's a fortune in diamonds in here. Millions of bucks worth, easy. It's gotta be real loot. It must be a real shame to waste on lowlifes who ain't got no use for no good purpose. No way those goons are gonna forget about this loot. They're gonna come looking for it, and then they're gonna erase whoever it was that got it, my friends. And that's us. We gotta get rid of it.
What are you saying, Brooklyn?
Glad you asked, Fergie. I know a good guy fence. One who don't know ask no questions. I think he can move these rocks for us. We'll all take our cut, say our goodbyes, and one way or the other get out of this hellhole for good.
Wait a sec. Ain't that stealing?
Look, what's your name?
Raphael.
Look, Raphael. It ain't like we're swiping from an offering plate at the church, right? This is bad money from bad people, and we'll be using it for good, which is good, right?
I don't know.
Damn it, Brooklyn, open up. I know you're in there.
Crap. Who the hell's that? 5 minutes earlier. We can see the police are on scene with uniformed officers now.
So you don't know who caused the wreck, sure, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure, and what's with all the sir crap, Corbin? Damn it, Max, keep it down. Miller's already wondering why I'm here. He figures me out and you know each other. The jig's up. Sorry, man, it's just this freaking crash has got me all out of whack. I was ready for the ambush, but not like this. Yeah, well, that was supposed to happen, and here's nothing but a screw-up on epic proportions. We gotta find those diamonds. Makes more sense for a cop to be snooping around a crash scene. I'll snag Lewis and sweep the neighborhood. And if one of us does find them, then we gotta do what we gotta do, and I'll take care of Lewis. Miller is your problem.
Back to Detective Miller.
I got a real problem here, Lewis.
Don't I know it, man. If we don't find those diamonds, believe you me.
You weren't too worried about dying when you agreed to steal them damn things.
Well, things have changed, huh? Sabotees are going to be all over this place in any minute, and they're going to blame me for this.
Nothing's changed. I'll find the diamonds, and we'll bug out, just like we planned. Just keep the grease ball of Frezzicato away, and I'll do the rest. And the other cop? Let me worry about him.
Looks like kind of a double cross.
Yo, Miller, this guy's good to go,
says Corbin.
Yeah, same with this guy.
So, can we, go?
Yeah, sure. We'll stick around here and make sure that things are copacetic with the paramedics and stuff.
Yeah, maybe get another look at the crash scene just in case.
Yeah, just in case, right.
Well, let's go for a walk. Max, what the hell are we doing? We should be looking for the diamonds.
Yeah, but I gotta make a phone call. Let Fabrice know what's going on.
Aw, crap, Fabrice, that guy's gonna kill us when he finds out.
Yeah, well, he'll kill us worse if you don't call him and give him the phone.
Give me your phone, I left mine in the car.
Sorry, pal, mine looks like it didn't survive the crash.
They walk by Scarbray.
Okay, I know a booze joint over here where we can use the phone. I'll buzz Fabrice real quick, and then what?
Stive never closes, especially not this early.
Bang, bang, bang.
Damn it, Brooklyn, open up, we know you're in there.
Casey, quick, hide that case behind the bar. The rest of you just chill and act normal.
Yeah.
Act as normal as you can, at least. Man, we are dead.
Yo, Max, what's up?
What's up? Your door's locked, right? In the middle of happy hour. What's up with you?
Nothing, man. Just a little private bash going on. No big thing.
Private? What? Give me a stinking break, man. I gotta use your phone. Quit locking the damn door, would you?
Yeah, sure. Come on in, Max.
Don't mean to bust up your little party. We won't be here long.
Hey, barkeep, pour me a pint. The colder the better, and turn the TV up, will ya?
Pint, yeah.
Don't worry about it, Casey. You get the TV. I'll take care of the man's thirst.
Walking in, we can see that there's a table with Kid Kennedy and Fightin' Ferguson. Casey's behind the bar. Raph is over at a table in the corner.
Come on, Fabrice, pick up, damn it.
Serious car crash in the waterfront earlier this evening. Police and rescue crews are busy on the scene.
On the television.
Who the hell are you yapping with?
5 minutes earlier.
C'est pas ça, sorcier. Josette, pick up the channel there. Stay there. But Fabby Wabby, there's nothing good on.
Fabrice, leader of the Sabote Ninjas, French and frustrated.
You click that thing so fast, how do you even know what is on, hmm?
Arriving on the scene of what appears to be a one-vehicle automobile accident.
Wait, switch back to the channel you just missed, vite. Means that is my car, that is for shed and the two you leave me. I need a phone, make a phone call. But Fabby, I want to watch Jasmine Fugasco now. Damn it, why do none of them answer? They better pray that they are dead because I am going to kill them.
What?
From the Scarbray.
Who is this?
It's Max, boss.
Max, I have heard you calling. I heard about the car crash. What number are you using?
Bar down by the docks. My phone got lost in the crash, and I think Lewis has got smashed.
Lewis is with you? What about the others?
Yeah, Lewis is here, but Frashid and Connor got banged up pretty bad. Ambulance has him.
And the delivery?
Yeah, we're still looking for that.
What? C'est pas vrai? You can find it, Bao, but you cannot find my diamonds?
We're looking for him, boss. We just wanted to make sure that you knew about the accident.
Accident? Yes, you for weapons, pa. But no accident. Someone I do not know who is setting us up. I just know it. Leave that bar, Max. Go back to the accident, and I will send Victor with a troop of Savates to help you to either find my damn diamonds or kill whoever has them.
He throws a wine bottle at the wall, smashing it.
Victor!
What's going on, boss? You okay?
No, I am not okay. There's been a problem with the delivery. A crash.
Victor, Sabote second in command, sick of being treated like number two.
Yeah, I saw the news. Then you know where you need to go. Take your best men and scour that scene. I would not be disrespected in this way, dammit. I wanted to cut a peaceful deal, but if they want war, I will give them war. Go, Victor, bring me the diamonds, or bring me the heads. Miller, is that you?
Yeah, Victor.
What the hell is going on?
Everything's screwed up. I know all the diamonds ain't nowhere to be for lack of searching, neither.
And Lewis?
He's shadowing frickin' Frazzato right now, trying to keep the place and myself as much as he can. But Victor, Corbin's here.
Damn.
Okay, listen, just keep looking and I'll be there with my guys shortly. We can't let Fabrice get those diamonds back or the whole plan shot to hell. This is a colossal mess. And I intend to clean it up before it gets any messier.
5 minutes earlier.
Man, what a mess! Whose turn is it to do the dishes anyway?
Raph's. Who else?
Says Mikey. Well, he needs to get back and do it before these things grow legs and run away. What are he and Casey up to anyway?
Goofing off. What else?
Michelangelo, return to the program you just passed. But Sensei, quickly.
Fine.
Man, I wish Donnie'd build us a DVR.
Serious car crash near the waterfront earlier this evening. Police and rescue crews are busy on the scene. Witnesses claim a pair of early Halloween revelers in costume jumped in to help the injured passengers. Our camera caught the alleged Max masked Samaritans as they departed the scene.
Raphael! And Casey, cool!
No, not cool. Leonardo, take your brothers and find Raphael and Casey, and bring them here as quickly and quietly as possible.
Yes, Sensei.
Raphael threatens to expose us all with his ill-timed heroics. Master, you can have the remote control now. Michelangelo, not this, not time for... Thank you, my son.
Okay, the news lady said the docks. That's where we start, but it really doesn't help narrow down where Raph and Casey are.
Now, which channels are my stories on? Whoa, bros, check it out! Savate!
As they look out across the rooftops, they can see the Savate jumping. You know, if we wanted to narrowing, Leo, something tells us we just got it. Agreed, let's go.
First Raph's on the TV, now Savate ninja dudes are after him. Man, this is gonna be so busted when he gets home.
You mean if he gets home, Mikey?
As the turtles pursue the Savate.
Come on, come on. Corbin, it's Max. Max, where the hell are you? I'm at the Scarabray. Place is full of weirdos, and Lewis is busy on the pint. I'm working on shaking him so I can head back that way and help you look for the stuff. Well, the stuff ain't here, man. It's with that bastard Miller breathing down my neck the whole time. I looked high and low at nothing. There's some funny business going on here, and I don't like it. Not one stinking bit. Yeah, I hear you. Look, just dump Royo and get your ass back here, and we can have hit this from a different angle. Come on, Lewis. Fabrice went to nuclear and sent Victor to look for a bunch of the Sabotage for the crash. We're supposed to meet him there. Oh, man, Victor, this is very bad, my friend. You believe me. Did you hear that, Casey? Sabotage, man. We gotta go get my brothers. There's no way we can fight those yahoos alone.
Who said anything about fighting? I told these guys I can turn the diamonds into dough. We all get rich and we all go our separate ways. Not one drop of blood spilled in the process. What do you say?
All of them in unison. No!
Listen, lad, we know you kinda got good intentions, but the risk is nae worth the reward in me book.
Aye, we gotta do right by the thing and give it to the cops,
said Kid Kennedy.
Nah, kid, the lads in blue will ask too many questions. I'm thinking the best plan is to dump the case, diamonds and all, back at the accident. Let the cops find it on their own.
Yeah, and which one of us is supposed to do that, Fergie?
Me, Kid Kennedy.
We have returned from our reconnaissance as ordered, Karai.
And?
The news reports are true. There was a car crash.
What about the diamonds?
Nowhere to be found.
Disappointing.
Indeed.
Karai. Foot Ninja, second in command, serious granddaddy issues. Master Shredder. Foot Ninja leader, sharp mind, sharp tongue, sharper armor.
What would you have me do, grandfather? I would have you retrieve my diamonds, Karai. What else? Take your best ninja, go to the crash site and seize the tribute that was promised to us by any means necessary. One way or another, those French upstarts will pay.
Karai goes away. We can see her jumping off the roof.
As you wish, Master Shredder.
Back to just outside the bar.
Yo, Lewis, would you do me a favor and stand guard in the alley while I take a leak? Seriously, Max, now? Yeah, I really gotta go.
Just make it quick. He pulls out his gun.
Oh, this won't even take a second.
We gotta get that briefcase, Kanata.
As he points the gun at his head. He doesn't see him behind him.
Huh? Wait, Max, you hear that?
Yeah, but how are we gonna get back from Brooklyn, Two Shoes?
The alley. Someone knows about the diamonds. Come on.
Yeah, right, says Max as he puts his gun away.
We're gonna need a heater, man. We need to go to the Scarbrae, guns a-blazing.
But what are we gonna do to find guns that fast?
Turn around.
Holy!
What were you saying about a briefcase?
Briefcase? We don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about now, Pinhead?
As he points the gun in his face.
Yeah, sure, the briefcase. We know. It's at a Scarbrae. Bartender, he's got it with Lefebvre with Irish twits.
Brooklyn?
That bastard? We gotta get back there.
What about us?
What about you?
You got phones? Yeah, sure, here you go.
And then they get boop, boop, pistol whipped in the back of the head and knocked unconscious.
Lewis, you go ahead. I still gotta take that leak.
Yeah, okay.
Corbin, it's Max. I know where the diamonds are.
As he takes one of the stolen phones.
Miller, it's Lewis. I know where the diamonds are.
Classic double cross. Both of them pick up on either side of a SWAT van.
Diamonds, where?
Diamonds at the Scarbrae. I'll be right there, says Miller and Corbin.
Fabrice, this is for Shed. I know where the diamonds are.
Turns out that was actually the ambulance, and they could overhear them.
What? A pub? Damn. I am heading that way, for Shed. I will handle this personally. Take my diamonds? Hannah, they are good as dead.
As he cocks a gun ready to go with everybody else. Still not wearing a shirt or shoes, by the way. Into the bar. We see two separate scenes. The first one with Miller, the second one with Corbin.
Damn, what took you so long? Had to ditch Corbin. That the place?
Then we see Max on the other side.
Yeah, a couple of dumbasses told us the diamonds are in there, Corbin.
Damn, can't decide if that's convenient or inconvenient.
Well, at least we know where they are. Where's Royo?
At the pub, as far as I know.
That ain't gonna be a problem. No problem.
They both are outside with their guns drawn.
No problem at all.
So it looks like one's going in the front, one's going in the back. Inside the pub, Brooklyn speaks to them.
Guys, really, I just can't believe we're all flushing all this away. We could be so stinking rich.
Nay, Brooklyn, we'd be the poorer for it. No matter how much money it'd bring us, in your heart you know that's true.
But, aw, hell, fine, take it.
We best be going, kid. Time to get those diamonds back where they belong.
Like real heroes, eh, Brooklyn?
Huh, yeah, kid, we're real heroes.
Damn. Casey, this ain't right. If the Sabotage finds them old dudes, we gotta make sure they're okay.
Yeah, let's go.
They take off just behind him.
Man, I wish my bros were here. We got ourselves in deep this time, bro.
I know, we'll just wait a minute, look. That ain't where the crash was. Where are those old coots going?
I don't know, come on. Yeah, why'd you have to drop that stupid Batman? Shut up, Raph.
Hey, Angel, ain't that your amigo Casey over there with one of them mutant turtles?
Yeah, but what the hell's running from my dad's bar like that?
But Fergie, I thought you said we were going to put the diamonds back.
I did, boyo. But that was just so we could get away. If we give them back, we'd only be helping the bad folks.
We keep them. We'll finally get the operation you've been needing and get your head working right. Wouldn't that be good now, mate?
I suppose, but...
No buts, boyo. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity knocking on our door. We better get the money, we get ye better, and we get ye home to Scotland like you've been waiting for so long. Now, doesn't it sound lovely? Those diamonds are the answer now. Best dreams, kid, truly.
Or your worst nightmares.
I'm afraid Scotland's not in the cards for you gentlemen. Give me the diamonds or your next trip will be to an early grave,
says Victor in the Sabote.
No, I don't think so,
says Casey, with Raph next to him, bat and size drawn.
Neither do we.
Neither do we, says Leonardo.
What's this all about?
About, reptile? It's about what rightfully belongs to the Foot Clan.
Yeah,
as they all dive in at the same time.
Attack, says Karai.
Karai on one side, the Sabote ninjas on the other. In between, Kid Kennedy, Casey Jones, Fightin' Ferguson, Raphael.
Casey, whatever you do, don't lose your bat now.
Yeah, right.
Back at the bar, we can see now. Corbin's come in the back, Miller's come in the front.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Put the guns down, guys, what the hell?
The diamonds, Brooklyn.
We know they're here. Hand them over.
You ain't getting Jack.
Hey, Pops, what's up with the...
Casey, whoa!
Damn it, Angel, what are you doing here?
I was coming to borrow $20, but now it looks like I'm getting shot with you instead.
No one's getting shot, says Brooklyn. Listen, all of you, there ain't no diamonds here. Tear the place apart if you want, but you ain't gonna find anything.
Tear the place apart? Sounds like an excellent idea, Sabotage. Attack!
As we can see, the leader of the Sabotage has come in with his cohorts. Now everybody's fighting. With a wine bottle? Looks like,
Royal Fazata, you turncoats, you a pay!
This is exactly why I won't work here in the summer, Dad. As she says, as they're all kind of fighting each other, Angel alongside her dad, while Corbin's in the back.
Damn it, Corbin, this ain't good. Tell me about it. Don't know about you, but I'm done with dealing with these ninja freaks.
They both get kicked at the same time. Looks like Max gets taken out as well.
You have brought certain war upon us. You will die for that.
No, Fabrice.
Gets pistol whipped by Miller.
Next time we work together, deal?
Deal,
says Corbin and Miller.
Angel, drop those sticks and pick up the phone.
Brooklyn, who's readily handling himself, by the way.
Call the cops, the fire department, call the damn Marines.
SWAT 1, this is Central. We need units en route to the Scarbrae pub, diverted to the surrounding docks. Multiple calls coming in as a major disturbance there. They might be related.
Roger, Central that.
As the SWAT team shows up now. Back to the turtles.
Raph, what the hell have you gotten into?
Can we talk about this later, Leo? I'm kind of busy now.
As they're fighting both Foot and Sabote.
Fool, do you not realize the calamity you bring upon yourselves should you refuse the tribute demanded of our master?
Save your breath, girl. Fabrice may bow down to you, pathetic Foot, but I never will.
Just like the old days, eh, Fergie? Aye, boyo.
As they're just readily beating up both Foot Clan and Sabote.
I hope I live long enough to have old days.
This isn't our fight. We need to get Raph and Casey and get the heck out of here.
You don't gotta convince me, bro. Tell these guys.
The briefcase, Sabote, get it. Foot Ninja, retrieve the diamonds for our master.
As Casey looks back, he's the closest one to it. Everyone else is being held back.
I got it.
No, this belongs to our master.
Foot catch, as a foot with a sword throws it behind him.
Foot miss,
as Casey bats it out of the way.
Merci beaucoup, says the Sabote Ninja. J'ai là, ouf, excuse my French,
as Donatello kicks it in the air out of it. The next foot that tries to catch it,
foot meet foot,
as Raph kicks him right in the midsection, knocking him down.
Look there, Fergie, it's your tartan gift.
Aye, batter up, says Leo as he bats it out of the way before it gets to Victor. Once again, as they all reach it,
I have it.
Looks like Victor, at the same time as Karai, get it.
It's mine, fool.
You'll have to take it.
Very well. She punches Victor in the face, knocking him down. He blocks. She strikes. Then, with a kick, knocks him on the side of his head.
As I said, the case is mine,
as Mikey grabs it. Certainly no one was expecting Michelangelo to grab it.
Wise man say, forget luck, use chuck,
and starts smacking another foot ninja.
Okay, who's next?
Oh, wolf, as they all dogpile on him. Literally everybody's on top of Michelangelo at this point. The case goes flying.
You know, I could have had a baseball scholarship, too.
And the crowd goes wild!
As Casey drops his bat and picks up the case.
You guys want this, huh? Then go get it.
As he throws it and it opens up.
Idiot! Yeah, this is not the first time I've been called that. I'm out of here.
As he runs away.
Aye, us too.
This is the New York City Police Department. You will stand down now.
Cops, disappear. Foot, vanish. Sabote, fall back.
As they all escape at the same time, over the rooftops, heading in different directions. The Sabote are parkouring away, the foot slink into the shadows, and the turtles flip up onto rooftops, leaving only one thing, Casey's bat. Stand down, team. There's nothing here but a stinking baseball bat. The next day, we could see all the people from the Sabote who are stuck in the jail cell.
Looks like Fabrice ain't too happy, huh, Corbin? Too bad, because their trip up the river's just starting.
Yeah, and we're lucky we're not in there with them.
Telling you, no more ninjas.
I hear you. Matter of fact, I got something else in the works. No ninjas whatsoever.
Do tell.
Master, the new leader of the Sabote is stubborn. He does not fear us the way his predecessor did. There will be no tribute from him.
Then we will teach him how to fear us, Karai, and all others who dare stand in our way. The tribute would have brought the Sabote protection from my wrath, but now that those diamonds are lost, the only payment I will accept is their very lives.
Back at the Sabote headquarters.
So you're really in charge now, Vicky Pooh?
To Victor.
Yes, Josette, at least until Fabrice finds a way out of prison, which it won't be for a very long time. Until then, things are going to be very different around here, you'll see.
And then back at Scarbrae.
So this guy, he walks into a bar, and he sees a giraffe lying on the floor next to the bar. Oi, I like this one.
Shoot me now, says Brooklyn.
Back to the red-headed hoods.
So you want to go look for flying briefcase two-shoes?
Don't talk to me, Kanata, ever again.
Back at the turtles.
Dude, I never knew there was this many dishes in the world. You ain't kidding. Your dad's pretty mad, huh? Yeah, it still could have been worse. I'd rather have dishpan hands than his walking stick up where the sun don't shine.
True that. So, you know what I want to do when we get these things done?
Oh, I got an idea or two,
says Raph. As they finish, back up on the top of the roof.
Ha ha, I win again! And you lose too, you big freaking loser! Oof!
As he gets tackled, and he drops the bat. Here we go again. And that's the end of the TMNT Annual. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number 21. Story by Kevin Eastman. Script by Tom Waltz, with colors by Rhonda Pattinson, and letters by Sean Lee. Start out in New York City. The boys are training on the rooftops.
All right, guys, training's done for the night. Dinner time.
Man, is it just me, or do things seem, I don't know, more tense than normal in the city?
Says Donatello. It's not just you, Donnie. I've noticed it, too. It seems there's been a lot less petty crime and a lot more violent stuff.
Me and Casey were just talking about the same thing the other day. Whole damn city seems twitchy for some reason.
Guys? Says Mikey.
All their backs are turned except for Michelangelo, who looks around. He sees a hooded figure in a brown hooded sweatshirt with sort of a smiling clown mask jumping at them.
Gah! Hi-ya!
He says.
Who the?
Guys, defend yourselves!
Ah, look, mutant tadpoles. You fancy yourselves ninja, perhaps. Shall we find out what skills you have, little tadpoles?
Says the masked figure.
Too slow,
as he kicks Michelangelo.
And not too sharp,
as he grabs Raph by his shell and kind of stuffs him down, avoiding a psi attack. then clasping Leonardo's katana blade in his hands.
This move may surprise you, much like this one, as he sweeps back with a kick and knocks Leonardo down. Might I borrow this for a minute?
As he takes Donatello's staff.
Too kind, as he upkicks him right in his face,
and then with a crack, breaks the bow in two.
Just a minor adjustment to suit my needs.
Now he's got two Escrima sticks, it looks like, the remnants of Donatello's bow staff.
Have you toads ever heard the Filipino art of Kali? It's extraordinarily effective fighting form using short sticks, much like these. Perfect for multiple attackers. Shall I demonstrate, after all?
As he stands there, kind of looking at them.
Seeing is believing. You may have swords, and sai, and nunchaku even, but skills? Sadly no.
As he takes out all three of them, just in a fury of these stick attacks.
Bang, bang, you tadpoles are dead. Such dreadful students. I pity the failed teacher who trained you so poorly. And that would be that old decrepit rat, hiding in that old decrepit church, Adieu,
as he throws down a smoke bomb. The turtles are just kind of flabbergasted. They're like,
who the hell was that? He knows about Father and the church. Oh, man, let's move.
As they jump into action. No more messing around, guys. We stop this clown, whatever it takes.
I can't believe he broke my staff.
That's nothing compared to the way I'm gonna break his face after I slap that stupid mask off it.
Man, he's fast.
This guy foot or what?
The way he's fighting, he gotta be. Which way'd he go? I'll give you three guesses.
He left a note that says down here with an arrow.
No, seriously?
Hang tight, guys. This is a setup.
Oh, yeah? Bring it.
Raph, wait!
Ah, the impetuous students. Here you are for your French lessons, Alley-oop,
as he jumps over all of them.
He's moving just like those French Savate guys.
French? I thought he was Filipino.
You recognize my style? Not completely brainless as it seems.
As he's jumping over them and swinging on this, looks like a cable of some sort. Then he hits Donatello right in the side of the face with a cloop.
Yet stupid nonetheless. The art of fine cuisine is but one of the many things the French excel at. Take the art of savate and parkour, for example. Today's lesson includes chasse, free running, reverse, redistribution, woof, oof, footy, and finally, the true tricure. Leave no trace.
While he's explaining all of this, he takes time to punch Michelangelo in the head, kick Leonardo, dodge a kick from Donatello, throw Leonardo down, throw Donatello into Michelangelo and Leonardo, and then, while Raph is trying to attack him, kick him in the midsection, and then do a alley-oop swoop sort of flip move into an open manhole.
Christ, he's gone again! This guy is quick!
Yeah, quick to run away and scared like a little chicken. You mean scared like a little chicken that just kicked the crap out of us? Shut up, Mikey.
All of you need to shut up and listen. We need to regroup and focus. He had the surprise, but that's over now. And we've got the numbers and Father's training on our side. Now he's going to have to deal with us on our home turf. They mean in the sewers. Careful, guys. This dude's sneaky. He could be anywhere. He pops up underneath them in the water.
Boo!
Mikey goes, ah!
Son of a... Ah, the willful leader. Predictable as ever. Unlike me. Ruff.
Blocks Leo and then hits him on the back of the head.
He's changing styles again. Yes, different style. Same results. Wing Chun for the most part, but it's most precise of blocks and countering hand strikes. Not to mention, nerve strikes.
As he hits Michelangelo, knocking the nunchuck out of his hand.
When these elements are combined, it's perfect for defeating four clumsy opponents, who are flailing uselessly. In waist-deep water, while I remain like a stalk of bamboo. Firm, yet flexible. Rooted, yet yielding. I'll bamboo you, you stinking foot jerk. I think not.
As he hits Raph with kind of like a sun and moon maneuver, hitting him in the face.
Gek! It matters not how you attack. I will simply guide you through the wind, choosing the moment when I strike.
Taking out both Donatello, and then finishing the sentence by hitting Michelangelo.
And so I have defeated the students. Now, it is my right to go face to face with the sensei, in his dojo. Farewell. Rah! Bastard's gonna pay!
Just cool it and hurry, guys.
The church is only a few blocks away.
Damn it, I don't see him. He must be inside already.
Wrong.
What?
I'm simply admiring the view. A cemetery seems apropos for what comes next, does it not? It appears the students are not as vanquished as I thought.
Very well, let's even the playing field. My bow staff against yours.
He throws him down. Oh. I think I'll stick with my swords, creep.
Stick with your swords? Amusing choice of words, little tadpole. Merely as amusing as this.
Using a maneuver to block the swords and push it down to the ground, he steps on one of Leo's swords, breaking the blade.
I, for one, choose to stick with my stick. Shall we begin?
You're going down, says Leo. Eventually, but first up, over, under, center, through, between, above, behind, and finally, yes, down.
As you can imagine, all of these descriptions show panels of Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, all of them, and he's just slipping in between them, finding all the weaknesses in their defense.
Well, that was enjoyable, but time flies, as the saying goes, and I don't want to be late for dinner with your teacher.
Hold up, says Donnie.
Yeah, we ain't done with you yet, creepy. So you would dance with me again, little tadpoles? Well, I suppose foolishness would not exist without persistence, would it? Far be it from me to refuse.
Leonardo blocks him.
Please understand, however,
as the clown character knocks the stick out of his hand, and then smacks Raph's and breaks his stick,
that when it comes to dancing, I always prefer to take the lead.
Then, while Michelangelo may block one of his attacks, he gets uprooted and swept.
So only one dance partner remains,
I'm not your partner.
No, you are not. That would imply you are my equal.
Facing off against Donatello.
I'm getting sick and tired of all your bragging, man. You caught us by surprise and made us pay for it. And I'll give you that much. But you're in our house now, our dojo, and I won't let you disrespect our home or our master, ever.
Says Donatello with an absolute serious face.
We shall see.
Oof. Yes, we will. My father gave me that bow staff that you broke, and when he gave it to me, he told me something I'll never forget. He said, this staff is no better or worse than any other, my son, and what matters the most is the honor and skills of those who wield it. It's what he told us all.
Donatello, actually gaining some ground against the clown, knocks his staff out, as the boys all kind of gather in to now the unarmed clown.
So you have some courage, after all. Pity you found it too late. I am through toying with the four of you. Our game ends now.
Yeah, dude, we're just getting warmed up.
Hate to disappoint you all, but nothing ends till we say it does.
Your braggadocio is precious, but I must disappoint you. The time has come for me to call on your master.
Then understand this. The only way you're getting to our master is over our dead bodies, says Leo, with a determined four behind him.
Then I can respond only that I am honored.
My sons.
Father!
The clown mask is removed, and we can see that it's indeed Master Splinter who had been testing them all along.
Please forgive me this shock. I realize this must be difficult for you. Just as difficult for a father to be so hard on his sons when he must. True balance comes, my son, not only from learning, but from unlearning as well. You have each mastered the fighting styles I have taught you, but as for many battles have surely shown us, our enemies do not always behave in a predictable way, and neither should we. I, like you, sense an ill wind blowing through this city, one that we must not ignore if we are to survive. So open your hearts and minds now, my sons. Your real training begins tonight. We must prepare ourselves as ever. We cannot be certain who or what awaits in the shadows.
Back in Japan, we can see what looks like a old mansion.
Are you certain, Dr. Miller, this is the place?
Yes, it has to be. I've checked and double-checked my findings down to the last detail. It's here.
For your sake, let's hope you are correct.
We see the Shredder, Karai. Looks like 4-foot soldiers who are digging into the ground of the basement, and Dr. Miller. Shredder looks on at a very, very scared-looking Dr. Miller, who's apparently still with them.
I am doubtful, Grandfather, after all this time, these many years. How could something like this go undiscovered?
Master Shredder, we have found something.
Then why do you waste time, fool? Bring it here.
Yes, Master.
They dig up. Looks like a big casket. Bring it up. It's sort of yellow, almost gold-looking, and it has 4 sort of rectangles on it. Looks like a sarcophagus. They crack it open. You can see that there's a green light emanating from it.
Well, Dr. Miller, it appears you have proven your worth.
utterly fascinating.
Indeed. Welcome at last to the new age.
In a green hue, we can see Dr. Miller, Karai, and Shredder looking on at what's in the sarcophagus. As he describes the character's name, we can see a woman just kind of lying in sort of a death pose. As the green light emanates, she has a yellow kimono and a fox mask, and Shredder names her Kitsune. And that's the end of issue 21.
TMNT, issue 22, City Fall, part 1. We start off in the Shredder's lair. We see the Shredder looking on. It says New York City.
Our rivals, the Savate, have recently found a new leader.
See TMNT Annual Number 1.
A warrior named Victor who opposes my authority. Recent Savate advancements have emboldened other underworld elements to follow suit. These new allies have successfully raided our material shipments. We continue to meet Victor's challenges at every turn, but he remains stubborn. My patience for such matters is at an end.
What do you propose, Orokosaki? Says Kitsune.
What we have always done, Kitsune. Embrace our destiny.
We see a skyline as the two look out on New York City as it's illuminated at night. It says City Fall, Part 1. Looks like the Scarbray bar we see outside, Raphael and Casey looking in the window.
Can we go or what, Casey? I don't know about you, man, but I'm getting bored,
says Raph,
of staring at your old man drinking the place dry.
We could see that Casey's old man is, in fact, just throwing back the beers. We see Angel in the background and Angel's dad, Brooklyn.
Sorry, Raph, it's just, man, don't he look bad to you? I mean, more than normal?
Yeah, well, you think a beatdown from Master Splinter would have sobered his butt up, but some chumps never learn, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Come on, let's go, I've seen enough. Finally!
Dude, after all that nasty crap that guy did to you, I got no clue why you waste time checking in on him.
I don't know, I know it don't make sense, but I made a promise to my ma, and I'm doing it for her mostly.
Well, I came out to kick some bad guy butt, not watch you kick your own, okay? So don't... Foot, attack!
Damn, where the hell these guys come from?
You're asking me?
As a legion of foot soldiers attack Casey and Raphael, you can see that they are just ready for battle. Casey's getting his bats ready and putting his mask on as Raph has his size at the ready as he dives in to attack the closest foot.
Don't you got no ninja super sense or something?
Yeah, I learned that right after I figured out how to shoot lasers from my eyes. Sheesh.
There's a ton of these whack.
All of a sudden, Casey's kicked in the back of the head and he goes down.
Casey!
Raph's eyes go wide and he becomes absolutely enraged as he's fighting off 3 to 4 foot soldiers at a time.
Stinking dirty foot scum! I'm gonna kick all you! Bring the mutant down! Bind his wrists! Silence him! Quickly!
As we see, they put Raph's head down to the ground, then they put some duct tape over his face.
Quickly!
As they take off with Casey thrown into the back of a van, and Raph thrown into another, leaving Scarbray with only Casey's mask on the ground as evidence.
So, mutant, we meet again. The discomfort you are experiencing is only temporary, says Karai. It will end as soon when you perish. Driver, take us to the docks.
All of a sudden, snap! Raph snaps his bond and goes after Karai, who dodges his attack. He grabs his size from the foot soldier, jumps out of the car, and into the ocean over the bridge.
The mutant is gone.
Yes, it's all going to plan, says Karai.
In the church where the turtles train, Master Splinter with a kendo against Leonardo shows him a new technique.
Hiya! Hiya!
Whoa! I didn't even see that coming, Master Splinter.
That is because bringing the shinai to my left shoulder in Katsugagi just so drew your attention to surprise my motion, and you opened yourself to my attack as a result. The full technique is called Katsugi Min, an excellent maneuver if practiced sparingly. If overused, the experienced opponent will look to counter Katsugugi with Debonair Waza.
Good to know. And I've got sensors set up all over the church here and here. Whoa, you've been busy, Donnie. Well, if Slash taught us anything, it's that you can't be too careful.
And don't forget Hob and those stupid mousers.
No, Mikey, no one's forgetting them. Now that we've got the security set, we can get to testing this ooze you took from Stockgen and working on the Technodrome problem. Weep, 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 the alarms go off. What in the world, says April. Somebody's in the church, but probably just Casey and Raph coming back. That didn't sound like Casey or Raph.
Oh, man, I think it's Slash. It's Slash, isn't it? Says Mikey.
Remain calm, Michelangelo.
Raph busts down the door, comes in through the ladder.
What is everyone standing around for? We gotta get going. They got Casey. Raphael, you must gather yourself. We don't got time. Look, they took Casey. We gotta go get him back.
Slow down, Raph. Who took Casey?
Karai and those foot freaks. Bunch of them jumped us as I got away. Casey just got knocked cold, and I think they were taking him to the docks. I'm telling you, we gotta get moving.
Oh, no, says April. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. If they ambushed you, then it's obviously a trap. Then if you know that they escaped, then they're definitely expecting a rescue. We need to think about this, because going off from one trap to another is strategically stupid, and he smacks his hand out of it.
Damn it, Leo! I got no time for ninja tactical crap. This is my best friend we're talking about. Our family, man! He needs us now!
And rushing into troubles really worked out for you the past two times, right?
You stinking! Stop! Stand apart, my sons! We will achieve nothing if this quarrel among ourselves, says Master Splinter. You are both correct. Casey Jones is part of our family, and we must save him. But it would be foolhardy to do so in a reckless fashion. We must be quick, but we must also be cautious. Rest assured, Raphael, we will do everything in our power to rescue our friend.
Back at the docks, we see Karai stands next to Casey Jones, who's lying unconscious on the floor in Alapex.
It's all in order. Yes, the other foot have set up a perimeter. They'll scare away any idiots that get too close to the docks. Nobody will interfere. But Karai, I am curious. What makes you so sure that they'll come to find their friend?
I know they will come, Alapex, because they are a ninja clan, foolishly loyal unto death.
In April's van, they parked on the docks. Okay, guys, we're here.
Miss O'Neill, until we understand exactly what it is we are facing, we must ask you to stay behind.
No problem, Master Splinter.
And listen, foot or no foot, this ain't the best hood in town. Lock this thing up tight and keep the motor running, just in case we gotta boogie the hell out of here, okay?
Okay, Raph, just stay safe, all right? And please, get Casey back.
Don't worry, I will,
as he says, holding his sigh. Night, Dad, see you late. What the hell? Says Angel as she opens the door to see April's van packed out and Raphael running away.
Raph, you're right, there's Casey.
Where's Donnie and Mikey? I have sent them ahead. We must utilize our unique skills if we are able to gain an advantage surprise.
We see that the two are swimming underneath the water on the docks on the other side, Donnie and Mikey.
Surprise? It's just Karai and that stupid fox. We could take them.
Patience, Raphael. The foot is purposely allowing us undefended access. This is a trap.
But it looks like Casey's hurt. We can't just stand there doing nothing. Damn.
Yes, Leonardo. Damn, indeed.
We see the Shredder walks onto the scene. Tap, 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 tap on April's window.
Oh, crap! Oh, my God! You just about gave me a heart attack,
Angel, you're the college chick that hangs out with Casey, ain't you? What the hell are you doing here?
The foot kidnapped Casey, so the guys in Splinter, the Turtles and I, came down to get him back.
Kidnapped? When?
Earlier tonight. Might be hurt. Or worse. Damn.
What's your name?
April. Where are the others going, April?
The docks. Raph heard Karai say that that's where they were taking Casey.
Okay, I gotta go help him. Casey's the only reason I ain't in jail or dead right now.
By yourself? No time to get like the other dragons. You hang tight.
Yeah, and lock your doors. I know, I know.
They are here, Grandfather.
Yes, Karai. I know you are out there, Hamato Yoshi. Why do you delay in coming to the aid of your fallen comrade? Why do you hide?
Master, do you want me to go after them, chase them out?
No, Alapex, there is no need to pursue them. I will show them how to draw vermin to a trap.
Shredder picks up Casey.
Yoshi, your undivided attention is required, as you can see.
Casey gagged. You can see Shredder just hits into his gut with his claw, stabbing him.
Your comrade is now severely wounded.
As he throws him down to the ground, Raph, just enraged with his eyes, just crazy, jumps off the roof.
No! Wait, my son!
Foot attack!
Says Karai. And with that, all the foot soldiers attack at once, and Leonardo, Raphael, and Master Splinter start defending themselves.
With me, Alopex, as we planned. Avoid the battle so we do not lose sight of the target.
That bastard stabbed him!
Raphael, calm yourself. Focus.
Listen to Father, Raph.
I'm gonna kill him!
All hell's breaking loose. Come on, Mikey, we gotta get Casey.
Coming! An amphibious assault. Clever strategy, albeit a predictable one. We're reptiles, you doofus.
That's not what he meant, Mikey. Oh, no,
says Angel.
Casey!
She could see that he's stabbed and bleeding on the ground.
Leonardo, assist your other brothers. I will stay with Raphael.
Yes, Sensei.
Raphael, I'm gonna rip you apart,
says Raph as he's just stomping on foot ninjas.
Our target is in the open, Alapex. Do what you do. Yes, keep the prey separated from the herd.
Rah! Alapex attacks Leonardo from his shell, pushing him down.
What the hoof?
Back to Angel, who now has Casey.
Guys, Casey's hurt bad. We gotta get him out of here. I need help. Don, Mike, help Angel. Come on, Mikey. Forget this guy.
Yeah, see you around, Pinhead. Yes, you will.
As he looks on to see Leonardo fighting Alapex.
Angel, where'd you come from? Later, let's go.
As they both carry half of Casey, as Michelangelo fends off the ninjas.
Leo, come on!
Working on it, as he kicks with a jump kick, Alapex knocking her out.
Father, we have Casey, says Donatello as Splinter turns around.
Stop, Raphael. Quell your anger.
He has to actually restrain Raphael with a chokehold.
Your friend needs you now.
His eyes have just gone white and he's crazy. I'm out of here, says Leo. All of a sudden, he gets hit with a dart in the back of his neck and falls down, dropping his sword.
It is done, Master.
Yes, Karai, I see. Excellent.
As they take him and they steal away into the shadows, with Leonardo leaving only his katana blade behind.
Oh man, Casey! His wound is deep. We must get him to the hospital immediately.
Dudes, the foot just totally took off! April! I heard the noise and I couldn't sit around anymore, so I... Oh my god! Come on, we gotta hurry! Father, Leo's not here!
Leonardo, but...
Oh man! Damn it, we don't have time! She's right! Casey's dying!
And that's the end of this issue. We could see that an impaned and unconscious Casey, who has blood spitting out, is just gone completely pale. And that's the end of issue 22.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold. Robust. Delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Since we're talking about a new character today, we're talking about Old Hob. He was on the first panel in the first page of the new book, and I don't think a lot of people are familiar with him. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the micro series book number 3, IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles micro series number 3, and is all dedicated to Old Hob, kind of like the origin story. All right, this was written by Jason Ciaramella and art by Dave Watcher. And I believe Old Hob was created by Tom Walz and Kevin Eastman. We start out with Hob on top of a building in a trench coat. Now, Hob is a large gray cat with an eye patch, and he's anthropomorphized with the mutagen. So he's and his origins are tied in very tightly with the turtles and with Splinter. So he says, "You know what our problem is? Humans. See, I ain't never had much dealing with them, and that's good. You ain't never been nobody's pet, and with good reason. I mean, look at you. You ain't exactly warm and cuddly, but me, I had plenty of dealing with them, if you ask me." We're not sure yet who Hob's actually talking to, but he's telling them, "I was a pet. There was a time when the only thing I knew and trusted in the world was a human. His name was Billy, or Danny. I don't know. Memories from back then are all out of whack. Anyway, we got along like mayo and tuna." A picture of Danny playing with a string with Hob, and Hob is enjoying himself and lounging on the window. "Plenty of grub, warm spots for naps, and as much playtime as I could stand. What more could you ask for?" Hob is curled up as the little boy is reading a comic book on his bed. "Everything was perfect until..." "Billy, get your lazy butt out here now!" Hob is startled. Mother comes in. "How many times have I told you? How many times have I warned you about this? This whole kitchen smells like cat turds!" Billy says, I'm sorry, Mai. Forgot again. It won't. You're damn right it won't happen again. Where is he? Where's that flea bag? Please, Ma, don't. I won't forget again, I promise. Hob is grabbed up by the scruff of his neck. I heard this all before, Billy, and you still can't remember to change that stinking litter box. I'm tired of it. Stop, you're hurting him. She throws him out the door into the snow. No, Hob! Please, Ma, he's gonna die out there. Your own damn fault. You see a picture of Hob in the snow, looking very forlorn at Billy. Billy in tears. No! The door slams shut. A winter day on the streets of New York City. And that was the end of that. Living outside was rough. No more laying around in the sun or playing with balls of string. The good thing about living in a city like this is there's always food around if you know where to look. The bad thing? You ain't hardly ever the only one looking for it. Hob, runs across a mangy-looking dog who just tears him apart, and he goes away pretty quickly, still hungry. I learned pretty quick that if you want something in the streets, you gotta fight for it. And when you see something you want, you better be ready to take it. Hob pounces, gets in the prone position there to pounce onto some turtles who seem to be in some sort of green ooze. A snack's a snack, even if they're ugly green things. Hob pounces forward and grabs a turtle in his mouth. But these ugly green things had mangy little protector. A rat. That green crap, he's talking about the ooze, burned in my mouth, threw me off and let the rat get the best of me. The rat actually is Splinter, who digs into one of Hob's eyes and tears out his eye. Hob, dejected, defeated, goes to lick his wounds while covered in the ooze and his wound from Splinter. I've been roughed up before, hurt pretty bad a few times, but even this was different. Something was wrong. I don't know how or what it... How it was for you. Like they stuck you with needles, it was so different, maybe. But, hey, I ain't looking for no shoulder to cry on here. The story's important. You need to understand that the fact how this all started, see? Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I figured I was dying. Hob lies on the ground in a pool of mutagen and blood. I figured I was dying, but then I didn't. All I remember was pain. Like getting run through a sausage maker, going on as one thing, and coming out as another. A transformation takes place on this page, and it starts with Hob writhing in pain, and then getting arms and legs that look like a human's, until finally, he's a giant catman. When I woke up, I don't know what the hell was going on. One minute I'm catching dinner, the next I'm getting my eye clawed out, a stinking rat, and this, whatever this was, I was huge. Hob stands up. He's a naked catman with one eye. Where I should have had arms, I had legs. Then things got really weird. Hey, Mr. Allen. And tell me how, pray, in a massive city infested with millions upon millions of rats, do you propose to find this Splinter of yours? That piques Hob's interest. We see Mr. Allen and Baxter Stockman in the alleyway as Hob peers through. I couldn't believe it. The noises coming from the humans' flapping lips that meant nothing to me before. I can understand now. They were talking about a rat, and I knew in my guts that had to be the one I just scrapped with. Hob then exposes himself to them and says, I can help with that. I just want to know one thing. Does that filthy rat have to be alive when I bring him to you? Baxter looks. My God. The next scene, we see Hob in the lab getting subjected to some various tests. He's in kind of like a big glass tube, and then he's getting tested with his breathing and some painful tests, it looks like, with a laser. Like I said, I don't know what the heck was going on. I told this guy Baxter about the rat and the turtles, and he seemed real interested. He said I'd be safe with him and that they'd take good care of me, run some tests to make sure I was healthy and I didn't have a lot of choices. Not all the tests were bad. Some even helped me get used to this new body, but most of them weren't so fun. I hated the way they watched, too. No emotion. It got me thinking maybe this guy's not all he says he is. I'd been cared for in the past, and it never felt like this. It'd been there almost a month, and every day I kept hearing him talk about this ooze or mutagen. When they weren't poking at me, they were sure to be fooling around with one of the two. And you better believe I was paying attention. That ooze stuff was some kind of healing power, and it had the main ingredient was the mutagen that Baxter said was the stuff that made me change. I didn't understand nothing else, just a bunch of technical crap. This is Hobbs actually looking at a vial of the ooze and seems to be analyzing it. But hey, I knew leverage when I saw it. Bex, he thought he could do anything he wanted to cause I was scared, and I wanted to make him think that, put him at ease. Well, I started thinking about a way to get out of here, to make some kind of move. I was done being his lab rat, and I had a score to settle.
Your reflex and strength tests have returned some amazing results, Hob. You're getting more agile and stronger by the day. I feel real good, Doc. How's about you let me out of this joint for you? I want to find that rat, right?
Out of the question. We still have multitudes of tests to run. And, with you out in the open is a huge liability. Forget it.
Look, I still got that filthy animal scent, and it won't be hard to stick it to the alleys to flush him out. Plus, don't you want something new to poke and prod at?
Let me think it over.
Baxter releases him as we see Hob in a hooded sweatshirt, and he's looking out on the streets.
He didn't need to think long. He knew what was letting me go was a risk, but it was the best chance of finding the rat, and that was too much temptation for old Baxy. Bax said he'd give me cash if I needed it. I just needed to keep checking back with him at the lab. But who was going to take cash from me, looking the way I looked? So I lived the only way I knew. That got me thinking. That rat could be anything like me. He could be a handful to take in. I ain't saying I was scared, but I ain't stupid neither. This life is good to be prepared for anything. Hob actually swipes a hot dog from two gentlemen as they chase him into the alley. They confront him in the alley.
You're dead meat, pal! A few extra bodies to throw at this could be a problem, couldn't hurt.
But what was I gonna convince a human to join up with me?
They punch him in the face, and then he ducks.
Teach you? Jesus, what is that?
As they pull off his hood.
Some kind of monster!
That's when it hit me. See, Bax and his nerds at the lab, they ain't scared of me, because they practically made me. But these other humans, I'm a monster. One thing I know is the bigger and scarier you are, the more respect you get. Throw in some cash incentive, courtesy of Bax, and I'd have extra bodies. I needed to deal with the rat. I was gonna make damn sure I wasn't alone or helpless ever again. A lot of tough guys are lost without a leader. Get a scary guy like me barking orders at him, and it doesn't take much convincing. Usually there are some that need to be persuaded. The more guys I turned, the more powerful I felt. It was addicting. I was establishing turf and fast. Not long ago, there was a power vacuum in this city. Heh, not so much these days, though. I can, with the promise of violence and cash, brought just about all the types I was looking for. The kind of guys who will do whatever you tell them to, no matter how stupid or dangerous. And let me tell you, there was no shortage of them. We were working the kinks out, getting ready for the real work, getting ready for the rant. And I can't lie, those fights were fun as hell. Shows a picture of Hob putting someone in a headlock and knocking out someone else in a big melee with a bunch of gang members. I went back to the lab to show Bax I meant business. I wanted him to see it and see my boys. He needed to know days of poking me and putting me on that damn hamster wheel were over.
We can see now that he was actually talking to Slash, the fifth mutated turtle. It's a giant snapping turtle. His response is,
"No more pain." That's right, big guy. No more pain. Our days of being lab rats are over, you understand? Speaking of rats, we got the right to go looking for that stinking rodent after my little visit with Bax. I remember the first time I saw them all together.
This plays into the scene that we just saw together.
I'll never forget that moment.
So this is when Hob fights the three turtles and Splinter in the first issue of Turtles.
I knew they existed, but seeing them like this all together, that was a lot to take in. I had a score to settle with that rat, but it still got me thinking about things. They were a team, a family, and that ticked me off even more. Time passed, more fights were lost, and I started wondering, what did I have?
We ain't doing this no more, Hob. You're not paying us enough for this crap. Look at this, we don't stand a chance against them freaks.
Freaks, what do you mutts call me when I ain't around? As he smacks him down. You bunch of chickens. If you had any guts, you could have took them filthy turtles. But you don't. So if you want out, good riddance. I ain't running no daycare here.
Things were starting to become clear. But it was just the turtles and the rat. But I was different. I was alone.
That's when that old saying about fool me once or twice or whatever. Yeah, well, shame on me.
Old Bax made a show of his pal. He was covering his bases. And on the way home, I didn't fit into his equation and plans no more. Baxter shows up coming off a plane with General Krang and two rock soldiers. He pulls out a pistol and shoots Hob right in the chest.
I gotta hand it to Bax, though. I didn't think he had it in him to do the dirty work. I guess he underestimated me, too.
Hob lies on the ground, looking as he's defeated. Then his eye opens.
He thought he had me. But old nobody one-ups old Hob.
Hob pulls out a vial that he had on his chest. It's a vial of mutagen.
Remember what I told you about leverage?
It seems to heal him back to regular health.
When I caught that rat, well, he was all alone in that lab, like a kid in a candy shop. I had heard enough when he was trapped there, and there was some sort of gold in the rat's blood. I took some for a rainy day, some ooze, too. Bax thinks I'm just some stupid animal, but I always had one step ahead of him, and now I'm gonna show him just what I'm capable of. I'm done with these humans, these weak, pathetic meat sacks. You can't trust them, you can't rely on them. I got plans, you see. Big plans. and the whole city is going to shake with fear when they see what's coming next.
You got 2 minutes before my better judgment kicks in, Hob.
Didn't think you'd show. No, not now, Slash. We've got business with these turtle boys.
This is story is continued in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 23. But that was issue 3 of the micro series, so just a little background on Hob. So Hob is the cat who was trying to attack the turtles, and Splinter attacked. They were all mutated at the same time, so you could see that their fates are sort of interwoven. So just a good background in case you weren't familiar with who he is.
It's pizza time.
And now, in a segment that we call Pizza Time, where we discuss any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or pizza-related food, I give you Pizza Time.
And now, for your Pizza Time of the day, I give you Casey's Cookies. Makes about 2 to 3 dozen cookies. Casey Jones likes pizza as much as the turtles do. He's totally down to prank his family and party guests by giving these pizza lookalikes. Here are the sugar cookies are topped with olives, black tinted icing, pepperoni, cinnamon candies, and oregano, green sugar. But you could experiment with whatever pizza inventions you want to dream up. Ingredients. 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour. 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 2 sticks, 1 cup unsalted butter at room temperature. 3/4 cup sugar. 1 large egg. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Toppings. 1 pound box of confectioner's sugar. 2 large egg whites, or 5 tablespoons of meringue powder, 1/2 cup of water. Get food coloring, red, yellow, blue, and black, red cinnamon candies, and green sprinkles or sugar. Instructions to make the cookies. In a medium bowl, whisk together the flour, baking powder, and salt. Step 2. In a bowl or an electric mixer fitted with a paddle attachment, beat together the butter and sugar for 3 to 5 minutes or until light and fluffy. Add the egg and vanilla and just beat until incorporated. Dump in the flour mixture and beat on low speed until everything is combined and the dough comes together. Divide the dough in half. Plop half the dough onto a sheet of plastic wrap and flatten it like a disc. Then wrap it tightly, repeat in the other half of the dough. Refrigerate the dough disc for at least 1 hour or for up to 3 days. Or if you really like to plan ahead, make the dough and freeze it for up to 1 month. Then just move it to the fridge the night before you're ready to make the cookies and defrost overnight. Arrange the racks in the top and the bottom thirds of your oven and preheat to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. On a flour workspace, roll out the dough into a 1/4 inch thickness. Punch out a circle shapes into 3 inch round cookie cutters or the rim of a glass. Reroll around any scraps and then cut as many circles as you can. Place the dough circles on 2 ungreased baking sheets, spacing them about 1 inch apart. Bake for 10 to 15 minutes, switching the position of the baking sheet halfway through until the cookies are light browned around the edges. Remove the cookies from the oven and then let them cool for about 5 minutes on the baking sheets. Then, transfer them to wire racks to cool completely. To make the icing, combine the sugar and egg whites or meringue powder in a bowl with an electric mixer fitted with a paddle attachment. Beat on low speed until combined, then stream in 1/3 cup of water. Increase the speed to a medium and beat the mixture until it holds soft peaks when you lift the paddle, about 5 to 8 minutes. If the mixture seems too stiff, add water, 1 tablespoon at a time, beating between additions until it reaches your desired consistency. Set out 4 ramekins or small bowls, spoon 1/4 cup of the icing into one, 1/3 cup into another, 1/3 cup into another, and then the rest into the last one. Tint the first one black, the second one red, and the third one light brown. 7 drops of red, 2 drops of yellow, 1 drop of blue will get you brown. Leave the last one white, covering the ramekins with plastic wrap while you work to prevent them from drying. First, spoon a little blobs of red icing, the sauce, onto each cookie, then spread them evenly on the back of the spoon, leaving a 1/8 or 1/4 inch border all around. Next, scoop the light brown icing and the pastry bit into a pastry bag or a resealable plastic bag with the tip or the bottom of the corners been snipped off, and pipe it around each cookie to make the pizza crust. Let the sauce and crust dry completely. Spoon a dollop of white icing or cheese onto each cookie and then spread it out in a little, making sure that you don't cover the red sauce completely. Immediately press a few cinnamon candies or pepperoni into each cookie. When the white icing has dried, scoop the black icing into a pastry bag fitted with the smallest tip, or scoop into a resealable bag and snip off the end. and then pipe little black olives onto each cookie and finish with a pinch of green sprinkles or oregano. Let the icing dry completely before serving. And that is your longest ever pizza time, Casey's Cookies.
Cowabunga, dudes!
Thank you for listening to the Epic Tales from the Sewers podcast. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. This podcast has no affiliation with Eastman, Laird, Mirage Studios, IDW Studios, Archie Comics, or Nickelodeon Studios. This podcast is a member of the Dorkening Podcast Network. Check out thedorkening.com for other podcasts. Epic Tales from the Sewers is recorded by Justin Cooper and Eric Will.
It took me 10 years to make the perfect man cave.
And then we took it over.
And we made it into the multiversal chamber.
Then I started my own podcast.
And we took that over too.
And we're the co-hosts, the Multiverse Kids.
Yeah, and I'm the dad, the geeky dad. And every week, we what?
We review the movies, shows, and books.
Games and toys.
Yeah. And sometimes we even have a special guest. So, join us every week on the Geeky Dad Podcast.
Hello, intrepid listeners. This is the Generation Playlist Podcast, a podcast about music where we are your guides through a particular group or artist.
We talk about the music, and then we make a customized playlist to share with you, our listeners. And you can check us out wherever you listen to podcasts, and find our playlists on Spotify.
Greetings and shabibins! We are the Retro Reductopus Cephala Podcast, a long-form bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know what all those words mean.
I think what Parasite seems trying to say is that on Retro Reductopus, we explore a range of retro goodness, from toys, video games, and movies, to cartoons, and even snacks and school lunches.
Oh.
And we do it all with a positive spin, a slew of killer guests, and some very adult language.
And you know what else is cool?
No.
This crazy show is part of the Dorking Podcast Network, with new episodes every Technical Tuesday.
What's that?
And if waiting 2 weeks for a new episode gives you a sad, know that we drop bonus episodes all the time, like the off-format Crow's Nest and an interview series we call The Brick.
You can listen to Retro Reductopus on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or any app that's cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all the things that make growing up awesome.